As the children go to Sunday school, allow me to give just a brief introduction to the readings we're about to hear. These last weeks throughout the season of Lent, we've been focusing our hearts on the lessons that Jesus has to teach us, how his way is different than the way of the world, how his way, for example, invites us into Sabbath instead of the frenzy of our constant busyness, or how his way invites us to focus on God's goodness and beauty all around us instead of diving into the numbing distractions that constantly avert our eyes. Today, we remember that if the lessons of Jesus throughout his life matter to us, how much more so the urgent lessons of his last week. That last week, when he wanted to get to his followers the most important life lessons of all. So listen today to Jesus' urgent word to you, his urgent word to your hearts about what matters and what doesn't, about how we might live our lives in a way of freedom and joy and compassion. We will hear the stories from the last chapters of the Gospel of Mark and hear reflections from those who were with him in those last days. Now listen for the word of God.
Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders sent to Jesus some Pharisees and some Herodians to trap him in what he said. And they came and said to Jesus, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Should we pay them or should we not?" But knowing their hypocrisy, Jesus said to them, "Why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me see it." And they brought one. Then Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Herodians, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Jesus said to them, "Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were utterly amazed at him.
I was there. I saw Jesus with all the rejoicing crowds as he entered Jerusalem. But we have questions. We asked a simple question: is it lawful? A yes or a no question, in fact. He was a teacher with questions of his own, so fully capable of understanding, but this was a simple topic: taxes. Are taxes lawful or not? And if they're lawful, you should pay them. And if they're not lawful, you shouldn't pay them. It was a trick question. To be fair, sort of a trap. We had him either way. If he didn't pay the taxes, the empire would get him. Emperor likes his taxes. And if he did pay the taxes, his own people would turn against him. So we thought it was a fair question, but it was a trick question. But we didn't expect what happened next. We were utterly amazed that he would leave us pondering our own question. Jesus said, "Give to the emperor what the emperor should have, and give to God what God should have." So the emperor, that's an earthly question. He had put his face on the coin. It was clear that that was the emperor's. But that left everything else to God. So are we to understand everything else belongs to God? That's the bigger question that Jesus left us. But the way he left it, one might understand that indeed all things do belong to God. Jesus escaped this time by his cleverness, but we have many more questions. Jesus taught us. What could we possibly learn from Jesus?
After he spoke with the Pharisees and the Herodians, one of the scribes came near and heard the Sadducees disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, the scribe asked him, "Which commandment is first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that God is one and beside him there is no other, and to love him with all your heart and all the understanding and all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that the scribe answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask Jesus any more questions."
I was there too, you know. And I saw Jesus arguing with the Herodians and the Pharisees, like the fellow you just saw a minute ago. And so when I heard him arguing with them, and this is the way scribes do things, you know. We ask questions, we argue, we debate. We want to get to the bottom of things, so that's how we get there. So I thought maybe he could answer a question I have had for a long time. So I asked him, "Which commandment is the first? Which is the greatest?" And this is what he said. He got it right. It was a perfect answer. In fact, it was perfect. I wrote it down. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind and with all your strength." And then, to my surprise, he added a little bit more. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." I thought I had it all correct myself. I thought I knew what I was doing with the law. But I wonder now, Jesus made it sound like it is not enough to know the law. He made it sound like I can't truly love God except by loving my neighbor. Everyone was quiet then. We didn't dare ask any more questions. Though I'm reluctant to say it, and I hate to admit it, Jesus taught me to understand in a new way.
The third scripture lesson in Mark 12, 41 to 44. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on."
I was there that week in Jerusalem. Maybe you saw me there. I've been moving more slowly these days. There isn't much help for someone like me who has no family to speak of now. Probably you didn't see me. There were certainly plenty of other people to look at. There was a huge crowd, most dressed in their finest long robes and proudly displaying the wealth they so generously gave to the treasury that day. They got there first so they could get the best seats with the other important people. I stayed toward the back of the crowd on the opposite side. But there was another person there too, one who would teach me to live again. He was people watching. This man, Jesus, understood what was happening. He stood up that day and told the truth that all the finery in the world means nothing if generosity is just another way to feel important. Generosity is empty if there is no compassion. Generosity is hypocritical if there's no justice. Jesus taught me the power of the two coins I had left. I gave up everything because it all belonged to God in the first place. Now, when I say I have nothing left, what I really mean is I have everything. Jesus taught the power of giving everything, my whole self, to God.
It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." Now, while Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at the table, and a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
I was there in Jerusalem that year. Every year, about this time, I take this jar off the shelf and remember that day. The air was full of the sound of joyful shouts and the smell of freshly cut palm branches just waving in the air. It was a time of joy, but one of anxiety too. Jesus spoke with an authority that made the powerful uncomfortable. They asked him questions, and he answered them. But simply asking questions because you think you already know the answer is no way to learn what Jesus had to teach. I listened carefully that day. The way to learn from Jesus is to give up everything you have. And that's what I did the night that Jesus came to stay at my house. My own story is a pretty simple one. You wouldn't know that I had learned anything new except for this empty jar. It was full the time when Jesus came to visit. Without a doubt, it was the most valuable of all of my possessions. And yet, it sat on that shelf, collecting dust year after year. But that time, when Jesus came to visit, something spoke in my soul and said, "For such a time as this." I opened the jar and emptied the costliest ointment on Jesus' head without a second thought. Such freedom. But his followers were outraged. "What a waste," they said. "You could have sold it, and all the poor in this village would have eaten for a whole week." But Jesus spoke above all of the grumbling. He understood. He said something then, which I only understand now, that I had prepared him for burial. Well, that was a different sort of way to teach. But he said that it was good news for the whole world, and I believed him.